Major Kira takes a steaming mug of Bractigino coffee from the replicator and joins Odo at a table in the replimat.
Too hot?
A little.
Why don't you specify a lower temperature?
No. Coffee should be a little too hot to drink right away.
Why?
It slows down the experience. Gives you time to savor the taste.
Ah, yes. Taste.
Odo, I know you don't need to eat, but did you ever try it anyway?
Once. Not long after I was first able to assume the humanoid form.
And
since I don't have taste buds, it was very unsatisfying. Not to mention messy.
Messy?
I'd rather not talk about it.
Major Kira, how nice to see you again.
Duran.
You left Quark's last night just when I was about to buy everyone another round. I was devastated that you didn't say goodbye. And we were having such a pleasant conversation.
As I recall, you were the one doing all the talking.
Well, in that case, you have me at a disadvantage. You know all about me, and I know next to nothing about you.
Perhaps I should be going.
Oh, no, stay. This is Taran, a business associate of Quark's. This is Odo, my lover.
Well, you're a very lucky man.
I'm a lucky woman.
Yes, we're both very lucky.
And you make a most interesting couple. So, Mr. Odo, what is it that you do?
I'm chief of security on this station.
Oh, station this size, it must be a very challenging job. I hope you're well compensated.
Oh, money doesn't matter. All we need is each other, isn't that right? Sweetheart?
Yes. Sweetheart.
You see, money isn't everything.
Oh, no. But it can buy everything. Well, I'm afraid I must be going. Goodbye.
Oh, good riddance. Thank you, Odo. Wish you'd been around last night. I better get back to Ops. See you later, sweetheart.
With a confused expression, he looks at where Kira had clasped his hand as if it had suddenly become exquisitely precious to him.
Commander's log, Stardate 48423.2. Despite the continuing threat posed by the Dominion, I've convinced Starfleet that we must continue our exploration of the Gamma Quadrant.
I've run a preliminary analysis of our sensor sweeps, and the second planet in the Kailata system is definitely M-class.
I wish we'd had time to beam down to the surface and take a closer look.
Yeah, but I'd hate to have run into a Jem'Hadar patrol while we were down there picking flowers.
Fortunately, there's no sign of any Dominion activity in this sector.
Now let's hope it stays that way.
I'm picking up very unusual gravimetric distortions in the Trialis system.
Any idea what's causing them?
It's hard to tell at this range.
Let's take a closer look.
Dax lays in the course and the Defiant swings round to its new heading.
The system's coming into visual range.
On screen.
The gravimetric distortions are intensifying, but they don't seem to be coming from the star itself.
But where else could they be coming from? There aren't any planets in this system.
On the screen, a circular area shimmers out of the blackness as a blue-green mass suddenly appears.
There are now.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Deep Space Nine, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Meridian. A huge comet rushes through space, the light of billions of stars illuminating the frozen gas it leaves in its wake. Alone in the freezing blackness of a universe littered with stars and planets, the immense space station, Deep Space Nine, is dwarfed by the comet as it rushes past into the depths of space. The space station comprises a column and an inner and outer tube on a flat plane. The circles are huge tubes attached to each other and the central column by large metal arms. Deep Space Nine seems almost spherical, Three semicircular arms bend vertically, equidistant apart towards the center, but do not meet. Lights flash all over the space station. The regular blinking of navigation and positioning lights maintain its visibility. Along the inner and outer circular tubes, small blocks of square lights signify the windows of crew and civilian quarters in the habitat rings. The intense light of a distant star glares off the mud-colored hull, picking out the huge features of the giant space station. The shadows created only serve to emphasize the mystery of the former Cardassian stronghold. Lights shine in military order around the upper central segment of the central core, housing the operations room atop the power center. A Federation runabout flies over Deep Space Nine, and in the distance the blackness of space shifts. Blue light bursts from a spatial phenomenon. From nothing, the swirling, circular shape of the wormhole becomes visible. As quickly as it appeared, the wormhole is gone, folding in on itself and disappearing in a flash of intense pale blue light.
The planet seems to have settled into a stable orbit.
Where did it come from?
Could the entire planet have been cloaked?
If it was, there should be residual ionization traces, but I'm not reading any.
Commander, we're being scanned. The beam is coming from a settlement on the southern hemisphere. I'm reading approximately 30 humanoid inhabitants. They seem to be the only humanoids on the planet.
They're hailing us.
Open a channel. I'm Commander Benjamin Sisko of the Federation Starbase Deep Space Nine.
I am Seltin Rakal of Meridian.
We were studying the star system when your planet appeared.
I expect it must have come as something of a surprise.
Well, you could say that. It seemed to come out of nowhere.
Not nowhere, Commander, but from a dimension that intersects with this one. I could explain more in detail if you're interested. We were just about to sit down for first meal. Why don't you join us?
We'd like that. I just need to know your planet is not going to disappear in the middle of dessert.
Don't worry. We'll be here for a while.
Amid a lush green forest at the foot of a mountain range, a stone settlement of a few huddled buildings reaches into a bright sunlit sky. Sisko, Dax, Mashir, and O'Brien join the villagers gathered around low tables arranged in a circle.
It's good to be together around this table again after so long. What's more, we're fortunate to have visitors to share first meal with us.
I was admiring your markings. Are they decorative?
No. Are yours?
No. If you don't mind my asking, how far down do they go?
All the way.
You're not eating, Commander.
I guess my curiosity is bigger than my appetite.
I hope we can satisfy both.
Well, you were saying Meridian emerged from a dimension that intersects with this one.
Yes. You see, our planet has a dual existence. It shifts between this dimension and another.
What causes these shifts?
Well, we're not entirely sure. Dural has been studying the phenomenon.
With only limited success, I'm afraid. My theory is that the dimensional shifts are caused by fluctuations in Meridian's quantum matrix, fluctuations that are somehow triggered by our own sun.
What's it like, this dimension of yours?
It's hard to explain. It's without form. We exist as pure consciousness.
And Meridian?
It becomes non-corporeal as well. But when we return to this dimension, everything is just as we left it. The buildings, the trees, even our bodies.
Are you saying that when you return here, it's as if no time has passed?
We only age when we're in corporeal form.
Sounds like this other dimension has its advantages.
Yes, but we always look forward to this existence and its many pleasures. Now here, let me help you with that. The trick is to scoop out the pulp and eat the thin layer inside the rind. Here, try some.
It's delicious.
Especially if you've been looking for it for 60 years.
60 years?
It's a long time between meals.
On Deep Space Nine, Taran descends a staircase in Quark's bar. His face is wreathed in dissatisfaction and he strides despondently to the bar. His mood brightens momentarily as he watches a Darbo girl sashay past him, but he turns away looking at Quark.
A glass of Andorian ale.
Done so soon? You were barely in the hall of suite 10 minutes.
There was no reason for me to stay the full hour.
I understand. It's a very effective program.
On the contrary, I found it to be quite dull. Boring. Boring. Boring.
I'm sorry to hear you say that, but if you're asking for a refund, forget it. The contract specifically says that satisfaction is not guaranteed. But for a valued customer, such as yourself, I'll make an exception and allow you to try a different program. No extra charge. Let's see. Something a little bit more unique? Oh, I have just the thing. A picnic with the pleasure goddess of Rix. I can even provide real food for a small fee, of course.
I don't like picnics, Quark. And the food here is abominable.
Forget the food. Believe me, you've never had a picnic like this one.
What I want is not in your catalog.
Well, tell me what it is and I'll order it for you. It may take some time, but if it exists, I'll get it.
That's just the point, Quark. The program I want doesn't exist. Not yet, anyway.
A custom program. It'll be expensive.
He slips a bar of latinum from his sleeve. He removes a large, ornate ring.
Oh, for that kind of money, you can move into a holosuite. Now, what is it you want?
I want Major Kira.
Kira? What are you going to do with Kira in a holosuite? No, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Can you do it?
Isn't going to be easy. I'll have to get her into the holosuite and record her image, and she hates holosuites.
Spare me the details. Do we have a deal, or do I take my business elsewhere?
Consider it done. Now, I'll just keep
payment on delivery and not a moment sooner. Don't disappoint me, Quark. When I walk into that holosuite and I see Kira standing there, I'd better believe it's really her.
Leave it to me. The things I do for money.
Just beyond that forest. There's a garden with a small pond.
It sounds lovely.
It is.
Dural, our scans show that there are only about 30 of you on this entire planet.
Well, there were never many of us. We're the descendants of an expedition that was stranded here millennia ago.
And your population hasn't increased since then?
It did for a time. But over the last few centuries, our numbers have dwindled. You see, we only reproduce when we're in humanoid form. And our time here keeps growing shorter. In 12 days, Meridian will shift back to its non-corporeal state.
And remain there for the next 60 years.
Eventually, we will only be here for a matter of minutes. When that happens, Meridian will be too unstable to successfully shift back to the other dimension.
And then what happens?
The planet and all its inhabitants will cease to exist. In either dimension.
We deeply appreciate your offer of help, Commander.
If there is a way to stabilize the dimensional ships, we'll do everything we can to fight.
That's all we can ask.
Uh-huh. Here you go.
Do you want to play Vajik with us?
Maybe later.
Dural and I are beaming up to the Defiant. We're going to run a series of helioseismic scans on the Meridian Sun.
I'll join you.
Good luck.
Quark's bar is filled with customers, but he seems agitated. Pouring a drink from a conical flask at the bar, he hands it to a customer on the promenade deck through a large window. He stands for a moment, looking out along the deck, and turns back to the bar, shaking his head at a waiter. Major Kira strides in, looking hassled and short of time.
Quark, I got a message that Morn wanted to see me.
I'm afraid you just missed him. Really? So soon? Would you come with me, please? Listen up, everyone. I have wonderful news. It's my pleasure to announce that my 1,000,000th customer just walked through the door, and here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Major Kira Nerys.
Quark, I don't have time for this. Why don't you make him your 1,000,000th customer?
Major, that would be dishonest.
Well, that never stopped you before.
This is a special occasion. An event like this only happens once in a bar owner's lifetime. Let me tell you about your prizes.
You mean I won something?
Of course you won something. It's part of the celebration.
I never won anything before.
Well, now you have. Congratulations.
Are you really serious about this?
My customers are my livelihood, Major. This is a chance for me to give something back to them. Now, let's see what we have for you. A bottle of Candora champagne, vintage 2368. That's a very good year. These are good for 5 free spins the double wheel, and last but not least, 1 free hour in a holosuite with the program of your choice.
A visit to a holosuite.
Offer good today only.
Well, that's perfect.
Right this way.
It's Ensign Quintana's birthday. He'd love a free visit to the holosuite.
Major, what about you?
Oh, you know how I feel about the holosuites, Quark, but it's for the champagne.
These are the Defiant sensor readings when we first entered the system. Take a look at the spectral scan.
It indicates that your sun was giving off modulated gamma bursts right before Meridian appeared.
My people have no record of that phenomenon.
That's not surprising, since Meridian was in a non-corporeal state when it occurred.
Gamma activity would seem to indicate an anomaly in your sun's fusion cycle.
Let's find out for sure. Chief, I want you to send a probe into the sun's corona to scan the core.
It'll take a minute to modify its shield configuration.
How do modulated gamma bursts cause a dimensional shift?
Do you always do that when you're concentrating?
Do what?
Bite your lower lip.
I guess I do.
Probe's ready, Commander.
Target it to these coordinates and launch.
Shields are holding.
It's going to be a while before the probe starts sending back any telemetry.
Well, I'm sure you have things you need to do.
Not really.
What a coincidence. Neither do I.
This isn't turning out exactly the way I planned.
What do you mean?
You've barely spoken a word since we left the settlement.
I don't know if you noticed or not, but Sultan didn't seem too happy to see us leave together.
Well, she'd probably prefer that I was walking with Kishara or Renar. You see, ever since my wife died, everyone's been wondering when I was going to find myself another companion.
Why haven't you?
I guess I was waiting for the right woman to fall out of the sky.
That doesn't happen too often.
It only had to happen once. Don't worry about Selton. After all, we both know this is just a harmless little walk.
Absolutely.
With a brief stop to climb a tree. Come on.
Dax follows him as he walks into a bush-lined clearing beneath a tall, thick, ancient tree. She rests her hand gently but nervously against his arm as they walk around the tree, looking up into its huge, leaf-covered branches. Finding a spot to climb, he stops, and Dax's whole demeanor becomes more nervous as she looks at him, her eyes wide.
Don't tell me in 8 lifetimes you've never climbed a tree.
That's how I know I'm afraid of heights.
Well, don't worry, I won't let you fall.
He steps easily onto a low branch and climbs a little further, staring into the distance. Once settled, he turns and holds out his hand to Dax. She carefully climbs up, her muscles tense with fear, but she is desperately keen to join him on the branch. As she carefully turns around to sit on the branch, she stops, staring out over the beautiful lush green garden stretching into the distance beneath her.
This is one of my favorite views.
It's hard to believe that it all might be gone in 2 weeks.
I hope not.
So do I.
They look tenderly at each other and he leans slowly towards her.
Oh, we better climb down.
Carefully, he climbs down and holds out his hands to Dax as she nervously descends through the branches. She grabs his hands as she reaches the last branch and jumps down. His arms encircle her waist and she holds onto him. They gaze into each other's eyes and then turn to look up at the tree before he leads her down to a quiet pond. The water ripples gently in a soft breeze, and around the banks, pale pink flowers stand out against various shades of green vegetation and lilies.
Oh, it's as beautiful as you described.
I knew you'd like it.
He trots down to the water's edge and bends down. Carefully, he pulls a plant out of the pond. Its watery roots are covered in delicate berries.
Try one.
That's wonderful.
I knew you'd like that too.
You know me pretty well for someone who just met me.
I'm glad you noticed.
He leads her to a gently sloping patch of lawn and sits down, tapping the ground beside him for her to join him. His eyes never leave her face.
I can't remember the last time I did this. Stroll through a garden, climb a tree, eat fresh berries by a pond. What comes next?
He leans gently towards her and she responds, closing her eyes as their lips touch.
I think I'm starting to remember.
He puts his arm around her shoulder, and as their kisses become more passionate, they lie gently back on the grass, lost in their embrace.
How are the calculations coming?
I'm checking them now. They're the same as before. There's nothing to indicate the gamma bursts are causing the quantum fluctuations.
Then something else must be triggering the dimensional shifts. Whatever it is, we'll find it.
Sisko to Dax.
Go ahead, Commander.
Good news. We've been able to get the probe down another 1,000 kilometers into the sun's corona.
We picked up some additional telemetry. I'll download it to you.
Thank you, Chief.
If all that fresh air and sunshine start getting to you, you're welcome to come back up here to the Defiant.
We're managing just fine.
I'm sure you are. Sisko out.
Don't you want to take a look at the new telemetry?
I'd rather sit here and look at you.
How about this? We work for a few more hours, and then we go back to your room and count each other's spots.
Can I go first?
We'll see. Take a look at the fusion reactants in the core.
They're out of balance.
That's right. And the imbalance is building toward a cascade reaction on the quantum level. That's what's triggering the dimensional shifts.
And if we can stabilize that reaction,
we can keep Meridian here longer.
I'll just see you.
I've got to get this to Commander Sisko and Chief O'Brien. And then we can count each other's spots.
Peering through a holo imaging camera, Quark hides whilst trying to capture a picture of Kira as she talks with Odo.
Security protocols are fine, Odo. Just let me know
if there's a civilian
ambassador.
Move out of there. You're ruining my shot.
Odo.
Oh, Major. Why is Quark trying to take a holo picture of you?
Looks to me like he's pointing at both of us.
True. And every time I stand in front of you, he seems to get very upset.
Where are you going?
What do you think you're doing, Quark?
Nothing.
Then what's this?
Oh, you mean this holo imager? I was just recording an image of the promenade to send home to my mother.
Ha!
You're trying to take a holo scan of me, and I want to know why.
Of you? Not at all. You just happened to get in the fray.
Ah!
Will you stop doing that?
Not until you start telling the truth.
You want the truth?
I'll tell you the truth. I was trying to get an image of you for a special holosuite program I'm designing.
Oh, I can just imagine what kind of program that would be.
I'm sure you can, but you'd be mistaken. The fact is, I'm working on a simulation of the station's operations center. People want to know what goes on up there, and they want to imagine themselves fending off a Cardassian attack or facing a fleet of Jem'Hadar ships.
Naked, I assume.
Isn't there some petty thief you can harass?
Just you.
What do you say, Major? Give the public what they want. They aren't asking for much, just a chance to work side by side with you.
Well, they want to work with me. Well, then let them apply to the Bajoran Military Academy. That way, I can be sure everyone in Ops is wearing their uniform.
Is that a no?
Well, let me put it another way. If I ever catch you pointing a hollow imager at me again, you will end up eating it.
Definitely a no.
Daral sits at the edge of the pond, staring thoughtfully into the water. Jadzia's reflected image joins his and he stands up.
Jadzia.
I've been looking for you.
Their reflections entwine.
You found me.
I have. Good news. It's going to work. We'll be able to equalize the time between dimensional shifts.
Ah, Jadzia, that's wonderful. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build a house. Right here. Nothing extravagant. Just big enough for two.
Daral,
I know what you're thinking. Thinking this man that just met me is talking about building a home for us. I realize you have a life on Deep Space Nine. But now you'll have a place here as well. For when you visit.
I won't be able to visit for a while. It's going to take a long time to stabilize the sun's cascade reaction.
How long? Meridian is going to shift in 5 days. Jadzia.
We'll see each other again.
In 60 years. I want you with me now.
That's what I want too. But there's nothing we can do.
Yes, there is. I can leave Meridian and go back to the Alpha Quadrant with you. If you'll have me.
What do you think?
Daral, we've been looking for you. Commander Sisko told us the great news. I can't thank you enough for all you've done.
I'm glad we were able to help.
The next time Meridian returns here, we'll have 30 years for our people to get to know each other better.
I need to discuss something with you.
Of course. I've called a meeting. And now that we have a future again, we need to start planning for it. And you need to make some decisions as well.
That's what I want to talk to you about.
The person you need to talk to is Kishara. She's not going to wait for you forever, you know.
I was going to speak to her as well.
I'm glad. Think of it, Daral. People can start having families again. Eventually, we may have to expand the settlement. As you can see, Jadzia, we have a great deal of planning to do. Well, I think I've kept the others waiting long enough.
You'd better go inside.
I'll meet you back at the ship.
You know, the person I feel sorry for is Quark. He always thought that you and he were made for each other. I don't suppose he'll be letting you win at Tongo anymore.
What are you talking about? He doesn't let me win. Come in. Daral.
Well, it's done. I told Sultan and the others that I'm leaving Meridian.
Oh, what did they say?
They asked me not to go. Sultan feels the settlement can't afford to lose anyone.
What did you tell her?
I told her I understood her concern, but that I've made up my mind. So what were you two talking about before I interrupted? Not me, I hope.
Well, actually, I was just telling Jadzia that, she's not as good a Tongo player as she thinks she is.
Tongo?
It's a game, and I'm very good at it.
Well, we'll find out on Tuesday night.
And I want you there to see for yourself. I'm going to clean you and Quark out.
Jadzia, I have to go.
But you just got here.
There are some things I need to take care of before we leave Meridian.
Do you need any help?
No.
I just have to say goodbye to some people. I'll see you later tonight.
Darol nods to Bashir, who raises his eyebrows and smiles back. As Darol leaves, Jadzia turns sadly back to the doctor, her eyes filled with conflicting emotions. On the space station, Taran waits by a staircase in Quark's bar.
Jerome, I was just thinking about you.
And I was thinking about you. And your reputation as a man who can get anything for a price.
Stop, you're embarrassing me.
I'll embarrass you even more if you don't get me my program.
Quark looks slowly round and pulls a data diode from his pocket.
Not to worry.
Is that it?
No. It's a high-level decryption protocol, and I'm using it to get the final information I need for your program. It costs me dearly.
If it works, it's worth whatever price you paid for it.
I was hoping you'd say that. I'll put it on your bill.
Fine. Just get me my program. I'm leaving in 2 days.
You'll have it, and I assure you it'll be well worth the wait. I'll stake my reputation on it.
You already have.
Taran strides quickly out of the bar. Quark's beady eyes follow him, but switch back to the diode shining with greed.
Now, where to begin?
You wanted to see me?
Yes. Someone has been illegally accessing the station's personnel files. Your file, to be exact.
Mine.
They've downloaded your voice print, your retinal scan, even your psychiatric profile. I've managed to trace the data path back to its source.
Well, let me guess, Quark.
Was there any doubt?
Oh, with all this information, he'd have no problem generating a holo image of me.
So, shall I arrest him, or would you prefer to do it yourself?
No. I have a better idea. Can you spare a few hours? I'd like to prepare a little surprise for Quark.
You see, the key to Tongo is to confront when you're sure you're in a better position than the other players. And if your cards match the roll of the dice, then you win. Darol.
Go on, I'm listening.
You haven't heard a word I've been saying, have you?
I'm sorry. I just have so much on my mind.
You don't want to leave Meridian, do you?
I said I would and I will.
I know what you said, but what do you want?
To be with you.
But you're worried about your people.
There are so few of us, Jadzia. And now that Meridian has a future again, they need me.
Then you have to stay.
And lose you? No.
What if you didn't have to lose me? What if I stayed here with you?
I wish you could, but that's not possible. Your molecular structure wouldn't survive the dimensional shift.
We could use a transporter buffer to match my quantum matrix to yours.
But how do you know that's possible?
Because I discussed it with Julian after you left my quarters.
Jadzia. Are you sure you're willing to do that?
It's the only way we can be together, and I don't want to lose you either. Benjamin, I was just finishing up my request to Starfleet for my leave of absence.
I bet this is the first time anyone has requested a 60-year leave.
You'll be sure that it gets to them?
If you're sure that this is what you really want.
What I really want is for you to say that you're happy for me.
I guess I just need to know that you have thought this thing through. If Curzon had told me he wanted to go off with some woman he just met, I would have tried to talk him out of it too.
And you would have been right. He fell in love with someone new every other week. But I'm not Curzon.
No. And I've never seen Jadzia do anything without thinking it through first.
I am happy for you. It's just, I'm going to miss you, old man.
You've been my friend for two lifetimes. I can't imagine what it's going to be like not having you around. And leaving Deep Space Nine is the hardest thing I have ever done. But I know it's right. Besides, after eight lifetimes as a humanoid, existing as pure consciousness might be interesting.
Next time we see each other, I'll probably be a great-grandfather.
Good, then I can call you old man.
I'll look forward to it.
I believe we agreed I'd be paid on delivery.
I haven't seen the merchandise yet. You know, Quark, if this program is as good as you claim, I might just purchase it from you to use at home.
You have your own holosuite?
Just a little present I bought myself.
His very own holosuite. It's good to have money.
Tyrone enters a room shrouded in pink muslin hanging like a curtain from the ceiling. Parting two folds, he steps through and stares through a second set of muslin drapes in anticipatory awe at the shadowy silhouette lying on a large bed behind them. With a lascivious lick of his lips, he parts the muslin and his eyes widen with delicious hunger. Two delicate, naked feet lead his eyes up lightly tanned legs rubbing sensually together. A pink shift rides up a tanned thigh and molds itself to the flat stomach and gently rising contours of the Major's body. His eyes continue to her face as she leans up towards him. It is Quark.
I've been waiting for you.
Quark! I will ruin you for this, Quark.
You mean you didn't like the program?
I don't know how. I don't know when. But I will ruin you.
Wait. What about my money?
Another satisfied customer, Quark?
How do you feel?
Pretty good, considering I spent 6 hours having my molecules scrambled in the transporter.
I don't know what to say.
That's a first.
According to Doral's calculations, the dimensional shift should occur within the next 47 minutes.
Do you think you'll be done overhauling the station by the next time I see you?
I doubt it.
She takes Sisko's hand and clasps it in hers, her joy tinged with heavy sadness as she looks at him for the last time.
Tell Quark I'll be back to collect the 3 strips of gold Latinum he owes me, with 60 years interest.
Energize.
I was beginning to think you were having second thoughts.
No, I'm just saying goodbye.
You missed last meal. He saved you some of these.
Thank you. Jadzia.
I just wanted you to know how happy we are you've decided to join us.
Thank you.
Everyone's beginning to gather. It's almost time.
Is there anything I need to do to prepare?
Not that I can think of.
What if I just hold on to you? After all, we're not going to be together again like this for a long time, and I was just getting used to this.
We'll still be together, Jadzia. In a way you can't even imagine.
On the Defiant, Sisko and Bashir stand either side of O'Brien at the control console, watching the quantum swirls around the planet as the Meridian begins to disappear.
There she goes.
Goodbye, Jadzia.
Something's wrong.
Commander, I'm reading intense seismic activity throughout the planet's crust.
You better ship soon, or it's going to tear itself apart.
Still holding Daral's hand, Jadzia turns to look at him as she struggles to keep her balance. His body has become transparent, almost ghost-like. Raising her hand to touch his face, her fingers pass straight through him.
Jadzia.
Suddenly, he is gone, fading into another dimension. All around her, the other villagers also disappear, leaving her alone as the planet itself begins to fade.
Picking up some kind of singularity in the planet's quantum matrix. It's interfering with the dimensional shift.
It's functioning almost like an anchor.
Commander, it's Dax. Her presence there is destabilizing the matrix.
Sisko to Dax.
Get her out of there, Chief.
Staring intently at the screen, praying for a miracle, Sisko looks quickly up at O'Brien as he crosses to the transporter console. As the air fades around her, Jadzia grips her chest in agony. The blue light of the transport beam surrounds her and she fades along with the planet. In her quarters on the Defiant, Dax sits with her head in her hands, desolate.
I thought you'd like to know that Meridian shifted normally once we beamed you away.
Good.
Jadzia, I'm sorry.
Benjamin, don't. There's nothing you can do. I just need some time. Just 60 years or so.
The End, voiced by Marston York for British Sky Broadcasting.